Squadron does not eat soup.
Oh, go and boil the head, good bird bag.
Rose was surprised at the warden's powers of recovery. Barely halfway through the morning, he was up and walking as he conversed with Martin. The young mouse told him the story of what had taken place in the night. The big bird glared savagely at him.
I thank you. Martin is mouse warrior, but you must learn.
Learn what?
Learn to kill all lawbreakers. Two snakes, not dead.
But they threw them in the swamp.
Next time, kill first. Then they will never break the law again.
The warden was inflexible when dealing with lawbreakers. By noon, they were back on the path again, travelling behind the warden. Rose was mentioning to Martin that the mists were beginning to clear and sunlight was now plainly visible filtering through when Palom called.
Ahead, look up!
There was the mountain. Rising above the mists into the summer day, it towered in solitary splendour, the lower slopes clad in verdant pine, rising to shrub and wild lupin, which gave way to naked dun-hued rock all the way to its majestic peak. Grum shielded his eyes with a digging claw, peering up.
Well, dig my tunnel. Us'n's got to climb yon good hill.
The warden halted, fixing them with his fierce eye.
You can see the mountain?
Rose nodded ahead, awed at the sight.
We surely can. Have we got to climb over it?
The hen stood on one leg.
Now only halfway. Do you see the cave?
The four friends searched the rocky mass, straining their eyes. Martin looked at Rose and shrugged before turning to the warden.
We cannot see a cave, but if you say it is there, then we believe you. Halfway up, you said?
Yes, halfway up. It is a tunnel through the mountain. Now I must leave you. These are my marshes. I am the law here. I stay.
With an awkward hop-skip, he took to the air, wings beating until he caught a thermal. Swooping over them, the bird called out.
You saved my life. I will not forget this. You are not lawbreakers. Maybe I will be able to help you someday. I go now. Goodbye.
As he swooped away, Rose cried aloud.
Thank you for your help. Besides the cave, is there anything else we should look out for when we climb the mountain?
Wheeling in a half turn, the heron called a final message.
Ask Baldred. The mountain is not mine. These are my marshes, and I alone am the law.
With that, the warden of Marshwood Hill was gone, soaring above his domain of treacherous ooze and reptilian subjects. In the late afternoon, they came out of the marshlands. Crossing a stretch of dry scrub country, the four travellers stopped at the fringe of pines in the mountainous foothills. It was green and shady where Martin decided they would camp.
We'll rest here until the morning before attempting to climb the mountain. A good meal and a long sleep is what we need.
Grum shook the food packs out, his homely face a picture of dismay as he took stock of their supplies.
Brr, hardly any victuals left.
Two wizened apples, a few pawfuls of wheat flour, one or two candied nuts, and three raspberry scones were all that remained of Pollykin's good food. The moles shook their final canteen.
Lack-a-day! Only our full of mint cordial.
Rose chuckled as she prodded her friend's tubby little stomach.
Oh, dearie me, Grum Trencher, are you going to let us all starve and waste away to leaf shadows?
Grum polished his ladle vigorously with dry grass.
You must snip, Miss Roser, no mistake about that. Right, I'm taking charge here now. Palom, search for vegetables. Sir Martin and you, Miss Roser, look for water and gather wood. I'll see what can be hunted up. Listen now, I want you all back here for sunset. Be that clear?
Palom, Martin and Rose giggled as they whispered among themselves. Grum waved the ladle at them.
I said, be that clear?
They turned to him with serious faces, trying hard not to laugh as they stood stiffly to attention, saluting.
To hear is to obey, Lord Grum.
We will not come back empty-poured, O Mighty One.
We are yours to command, for you are the law.
They dashed off, laughing, leaving Grum polishing his ladle.
I don't see nothing funny. Victuals be serious, sir.
Twilight found the four friends seated around a cosy little fire. Their foraging had proved extremely fruitful. Apples, early wild plums, and some green acorns, parsley, dandelion, wild oats, and a piece of honeycomb, which Palam had found floating in a small rivulet of ice-cold mountain water. There were also a few mushrooms and some watercress, which had been growing by the rivulet. Grum borrowed Martin's sword and used the blade to peel and chop. The others took their ease, laying back under a small spreading pine to watch him.
Mushrooms and cress goes with parsley and dandelion,
the mole explained as he prepared supper.
Chop up the grey acorns too. 'Twill make good soup, a most thick stew.
He paused to wrap Rosa's paw with the ladle as she tried to steal a wild plum.
Get off, Mizzy. We need thee to put with last of flour and boiled oaters and honey. Choppy apples very little. Pass o' yon flat stone. I need it for my experiment.
Martin looked at Rose as he passed Grum the flat thin rock.
Experiment? What does he mean?
He means experiment. Grum is always experimenting with food. He's very good. His experiments can turn out tasty.
The soup, when it came, was savoury, and they blew on it as they sipped it from their scallop shells. Grum had patted his mixture of wild plum flour, oats, honey and apples into small round cakes that he cooked on the flat rock over the fire. The sweet smell wreathed around the camp as he turned off the first batch to cool in the grass. Taking one gingerly, he broke it, giving half to Rose.
What you think of that, Mizzy?
The mousemaid juggled it in her paws, blowing on it as she took several quick nibbles.
Oh, Grum, it tastes wonderful. So sweet and sticky.
The mole wrinkled his snout in a satisfied manner.
I knew twud. I'll make a couple of batches, and we'll pack them for rations. I hope so I can remember my experiment when we reach his home to Noonvale.
Grum gave them a cake apiece to eat after their soup. He was packing the rest of them away when a crackling of branches, coupled with screams and wild laughter, sounded close by. Before Martin could retrieve his sword from Grum, a dozen of more young squirrels bounded into the camp, screeching, scrabbling and fighting. One of the creatures tripped and stumbled over Rose. He snapped at her and pushed her roughly as he struggled to rise. Martin was across to him in a twinkling. He dealt the squirrel a hefty blow and sent him sprawling again. Now the camp seemed to be full of wild-looking squirrels. They wore sashes of gaily coloured bark cloth and had bird feathers fastened to their tails. Disregarding the four travellers, they fought and screeched all around them, ignoring the upset and discomfort they were causing. One creature grabbed hold of Grum, using him as a shield to escape from another, who was trying, apparently, to steal the feathers from his tail. Martin had stood enough. He did not want to kill any of them, as they had not directly attacked him or his friends, but he was determined that they should be taught a lesson. Seizing Grum's ladle, he dashed at the two who were whirling the mole about as one tried to catch the other. Whop! Fuck! Martin dealt out two stunning blows, which sat the wild pair down flat on their tails. He brandished the ladle and roared,
"Stop this! Do you hear me? Stop it this instant!"
The squirrels halted, panting heavily and grinning at each other. Martin shook the ladle, his voice stern and loud.
"You hooligans! What do you mean by dashing in and wrecking our camp like this, eh? Have you no manners at all? You're like a mob of wild beasts!"
One squirrel grabbed a feather from the tail of another and hopped nimbly onto a low pine branch.
"Ha! It's not your land, it's ours! We're the Gore tribe, we do what we like, so there!"
He stuck his tongue out impudently at Martin. Palam was quick. Leaping up, he caught the branch and twanged it, catapulting the squirrel onto the ground. The other squirrels thought this was hilarious and started doing it to each other, one leaping on a low branch as the other twanged it off. Rose was furious. Placing her paws on her hips, she yelled at them.
"Do you want me to call a warden of Marshwood Hill?"
They stopped momentarily again, then started laughing as one of their number began imitating the grey head and stick-like walk and doing a passable impression of the bird.
"I am law. I slay all lawbreakers. Warden can't touch us. He only rules the marshland, never comes up here."
Rose drew herself up to her full height.
"Then I'll tell Boldred."
All activity ceased. They looked around nervously. Then one of them pulled an impudent face.
"Yeah, you can't, because she's not here. Look."
Jumping up and down, he chanted,
"Boldred, Boldred, bold ahead, old Boldred."
Spreading his paws wide, he smirked cheekily.
"See, she's not here."
With a series of wild whoops, the squirrels sprang off into the trees, leaving the camp at peace once more. Martin stood listening to them as they shrieked and shouted off into the gathering night.
"The Gore tribe, eh? I don't like that crowd one little bit. We best post a sentry tonight. I'll take first watch. Grum, will you take second? You can use my sword.
The mole brandished his trusty ladle fearlessly.
Brr! This'll be all I'll need for they rascally beasters.
Rose placed damp wood on the fire to burn slowly through the night. She sat with her back against a pine and settled to rest.
Martin, did you notice how they stopped when I mentioned Boldred? I know they joked and clowned a bit, but they're obviously scared of her. I wonder who Boldred is and where we can find her.
Martin shouldered the small sword, his keen eyes questing around the night-cloaked woodland.
Your guess is as good as mine, Rose. I don't think we've seen the last of the Gore tribe, though.
However, the night passed uneventfully for the four travellers, the wooded foothills remaining calm and peaceful. The following morning was presided over by a hot blue cloudless sky, promising even greater heat as the day progressed. They breakfasted sparingly on cold water and some of Grum's invention cakes before setting off to scale the mountain. 3 hours after dawn, they left the forest, entering a country of sloping shale scree, carpeted with shrub, fern and lupin. As they toiled upwards in the oppressive breezeless warmth, Martin gritted his teeth. Jibes and insults were coming at them from all around, though they saw no squirrels.
I'll tell the warden on you.
Bad-mannered hooligans, camp wreckers.
Still no sign of Boldred.
Please, Boldred, save us from the Gore tribe.
Palin clapped a paw to his ear.
Youch! They're chucking pebbles at me.
A small stone clacked off Martin's sword blade. He kept his eyes straight ahead, speaking in a voice strained by temper.
Ignore them, the stupid vermin.
Ignore them, the stupid vermin.
A voice echoed back at him. The young mouse was about to pick up a pebble and hail it back in the direction of the voice when Rose halted. She muttered urgently to him out of the side of her mouth.
Look, up ahead.
The way was blocked by about 50 Gore tribe squirrels. One larger than the rest and obviously some kind of chieftain stood forward. He scuffed the ground with his paw and pouted like a naughty infant as he spoke.
This is Gore tribe land. You've got to pay to pass through.
Martin eyed him levelly.
We have only some food for ourselves. Nothing of any value. I am Martin the Warrior. This is Rose, Palam, and Grum. Let us pass. We will be off your land by nightfall.
The squirrel leader did a mincing little dance, holding his paws together imploringly as he mocked.
Let us pass, please. Let us pass.
Martin noticed that more squirrels had come up behind them, cutting off any chance of retreat. The leader squirrel had more feathers in his tail brush than any of the others. He arched the bushy tail skillfully towards Martin.
I am called Wacker, leader of the Gore tribe. Give me your sword and I'll let you pass.
The young mouse's eyes were cold as he answered.
No beast takes this sword from me.
Wacker puffed out his chest and made his tail stand straight.
Then I will fight you for it.
Martin curled his lip derisively.
Oh, you'll fight, my friend. Backed up by all your bunch, I suppose.
Wacker did not sneer or joke. He held up both paws to show he was not armed.
No, no. We two will fight together. Just me and you. None of my bunch will interfere. Give your sword to the mouse maid and let's see how good you are without a weapon.
Instantly, the squirrels formed a large ring. As Martin passed the sword to Rose, he had his back turned to Wacker.
Look out, Martin!
He thrust the sword into Rose's paws and whirled around to see Wacker hurtling through the air at him, teeth bared and claws outspread.
Chapter 26.